One of the things that is so special about weekends like this is we get to remember. We get to remember what God has done in our life. And whether or not you are a part of the VT community or you've been a part of Tridestone, we've had moments in our life where, man, God has done things in our life, right? Like, you're here today because obviously you've met with Jesus. Jesus has met you in some form or fashion over the course of your life, which brings you to this place today, right? So what's amazing is, though, that as we go through life, it's easy to forget those special moments that you've had with God in the midst of life itself. It's crazy how, as humans, we sometimes forget the unbelievable things that God has done. And as we walk through life, we can easily begin to get discouraged, even though we've seen God do unbelievable miracles. See, we're really not that much different than the Israelites who literally walked through the Red Sea and yet complained on the other side because things didn't turn out exactly the way they wanted it to. They wanted it easy. And don't we all want it easy? And the reality of life is it's not easy. It's actually really hard, which is why we need Jesus, right? It's really hard, but we have to constantly remember the things that God's done. This is why it's so important for us to develop a good habit of journaling. You know, as we spend time with the Lord, that we write things down, we can go back and reflect on these things. It's so important for us to have these moments. God would, at times, would have the Israelites set up these stone memorials so that they would remember. That when they saw the memorial, they would remember what God had done and how he brought them to this point in life. And yet, at the same time, what we understand is when we have a job and a boss that's meaner than we really were hoping for, and actually this is a job that I studied for and gave my life for 4 years to get this degree is not what I was hoping for, right? Like, it's not as fun, not as glorious. The paycheck really isn't that rewarding in the moment of all that I've sacrificed for this job. Like, God, why did I go through that? Or when marriage is a lot more difficult than we had anticipated or imagined, right? We're like, God, really, are you in this? And when we bring kids into the mix and we're not sleeping through the night, we're like, God, where are you in this reality, right? Where are you? What's going on? And all of a sudden, in the midst of our life, we're forgetting what we ought to remember and remember what we ought to forget. And if you've been here with me for 4 years, you've probably heard me say that before. The enemy is really good at trying to lead us to a place where we do not remember these amazing moments we've had with God. Because the journey with Jesus is actually not for the burning bush, but the burning bush moments in our life are actually to help us along the journey, that we remember the burning bush moments as we walk through the greater challenges of life. Like, this is God's desire for you and for me, is that we just don't forget what God has done. I'll never forget being in Colombia, and we would do these skits, right? We'd do a skit, and then we'd follow it by a testimony. And one time, we're walking into this pretty large school. We're gonna perform this skit on a basketball court, and there's the stands are up, and they're full of students. And one of the skits that we performed were called the Cards of Life. So basically, the different things you got dealt in life that you didn't sign up for, right? It's just part of living in a sinful, broken world. And some of those cards were like divorce. Some of those cards were like poverty. Some of those cards were illness or literally cancer. And we're coming into the school, and every time we'd get on the bus, we'd be praying and worshiping and going to the school. And I'm thinking through at the same time, who is going to share the testimony for these different skits? And I had felt like the Lord said, you need to do the Cards of Life. We didn't do that one every school we went to. And so I'm coming in and I'm thinking, but Lord, I don't have anybody to do a testimony for this. And like, I'm literally having this moment of like reading through all their stuff and thinking through every team member. And I'm like, we just really don't have one. I don't know why you want us to do this. Lord, we don't have one. So I'm literally having this conversation going into the school. And the Lord says to me, Anthony, you have a story. And I'm like, just start laughing to myself, because I've been healed of cancer. I was dealt a card that, right, is not, in many ways we'd say it's not fair. But the Lord healed me, and I'll never forget that moment, because as I shared my testimony, a young man came running down to me and told me that his mom had just been diagnosed with cancer. And that kid did everything he did to bring his mom to the service that night just so we could lay hands on her and pray. Now, I don't know the outcome, but I just know that there's a young man who needed to hear that story at that right moment, at that right time. But isn't it crazy, right? Like, you're like, it's not that I actually forgot I was healed of cancer. It's just that in the moment, right? And it's just the example of life. Like, in the moment of life, we often forget these unbelievable things that God has done. And why should we be surprised as we left a place? Now, don't get me wrong, but like, as we left a place, if you've experienced college at all, you're in a season of your life that really our world says is the greatest season of your life. And the reason why it's one of the greatest seasons of your life is because, again, I'll say it again, you had more time in college than you'll ever have again in your life, right? But at the same time, you had way less responsibility. And so why are we shocked that when we step out into this transition of life, things get way more difficult? Like, it is hard. It's hard when now you were doing life alone with Jesus, now you're doing life with somebody, and you can't run or hide because they're with you every moment of the day, revealing all of your pride and all of your selfishness. They're really a gift in your life, and they're called your spouse. But we get lost in those moments of so wrestling with, God, what is going on? Where are you? I remember, you know, when, right? Like, or I need to remember when. I need to go back to those journals and remember God really did touch my life. God really did change my life. But why am I still selfish? Because it's a process. It's okay to walk through the process. It's okay to embrace the process of sanctification in your life. We'll talk about that a little bit longer. But then you throw kids in the mix. And again, it's like, why did we think that it was just going to be easy? Actually, maybe these difficult things are just supernatural gifts from the Lord that he's giving you to depend and rely on him in a greater way. But I have watched over the years so many of the people that have been on fire with God get dealt a difficult hand. And instead of running to God, they pull back from God. And there's no one that it grieves more than God himself. Could you imagine with me just for a moment? When you have children, or if you currently have them, that when they go through something difficult or something happens in life, that they would actually run from you instead of running to you? Nothing would grieve you more. But yet this is the way we often operate with God. And so my heart today is that we just talk about, let's remember. It's okay to remember. It's okay to remember the sweet seasons that you've had with the Lord. It's okay that even when you're walking through difficulty, right, to hold on to the realities that God has already done in your life, because he will continue to move. He's just looking for some men and women that'll be faithful to the end. And so I just want to take a moment to share from 1 Peter. Peter is writing this letter to men and women who are dispersed throughout Asia Minor. And his purpose in writing to them was that they are no longer, right? They're no longer together, but now they're spread out and they're facing all kinds of opposition and persecution. Can I just say this? Like, let's be honest, like most of us don't experience like persecution. Like our life is not on the line because we've decided to follow Jesus, but these people's lives, they were on the line because they decided to follow Jesus. They associated their life with Jesus and now their life was at risk. The persecution I would say we face now is just the challenges of life. There's an element of hardship and difficulty within living in a broken world that is not looking to Jesus for their leadership, right? Their Lord and Savior. And so you're a minority in the midst of this world that we're living in as we speak, at least if you're really going to live it out. Like if you're really going to live for Jesus and be on fire for God and make a difference in this world, then you're definitely a minority. And he's writing to encourage them in the face of this opposition, right? That he wants them to be encouraged with an eternal perspective on the earth, the life they're living on earth. And this is it, right? Like there's this challenge, again, going back to this remembering thing, is it's so easy for us to forget that we're just not home yet. That we're just passing through. We are exiles in a foreign land, and we're waiting to go home. And if you lose sight of that reality, it becomes very difficult to continue to live a life that God has called us to live. And so my hope is that we encourage each other today with an eternal perspective. I want you to remember who you are. I want you to remember what God has called us to, this responsibility. And I want you to remember that the conduct of your life matters, where you are. And so let's take a look at the scriptures. This is what the Word of God says in 1 Peter 2. So put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Before I get into the three things I really want to focus on, let me just make a couple observations here early in this passage. So I'm not going to kind of expound on the whole thing. But I will say this, long for spiritual milk. This is one of the challenges in life, is that, right, he's encouraging the people that there should be a hunger and a desire for the Word of God. And I believe it was Eileen was teaching the other day, and she said, you know, that the sign, right, like healthy people eat. Right? When you have the flu, you don't eat. Why? Because you're sick. And the truth of the matter is like, if you're not eating of the Word of God, maybe you're sick a little bit. And maybe God has you here this morning because he cares so deeply about your health spiritually that he's going to stir in you a deeper hunger for the Word of God, that you would be healthy spiritually. Like, here's the deal, is when we start getting off and we start walking through difficult things, this is where the drawing away from, we only become more sick because we're not getting the nutrients in that's needed in order to see God and to hear God and to walk with God and to be intimate with God. And all of a sudden we're wondering why. Why is life even harder now? It's because you've gotten a little bit sick. You've been drawing away from God, but God is calling you to deeper places of intimacy. So, man, would you even just tell the Lord, God, I want to hunger for your word again. I miss you. Because you know what? He misses you. We don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Listen, he's longing to speak to you. He's longing to speak to you. Second, We are to grow up into salvation. It is a process. And this is one of the things that I've seen over my 15 years, well, 23 years in Chi Alpha, but 15 years here, is that when a student, when you gave your life to Jesus, I don't, even if you, you know, never were a student at Virginia Tech, when you gave your life to Jesus, you were seen as saved, right? You're seen as saved, but there is this other thing that you're being saved. There's this process of salvation, which we call sanctification, where people are becoming more like Jesus. And then one day when we see him face to face, we will be saved, right? And so as you think through this theology of salvation, right, there's a process. Embrace the process. You're not perfect. There's only one that's ever been perfect, and his name is Jesus, and he's at work in your life. And so when you have these moments where it's not glorious in your home because you're not sleeping and you're being selfish and you're being prideful to your spouse, repent and ask for forgiveness, right? Like, just get over yourself, right? Like, this is the challenge in life, is that we understand. And then what happens is we get so discouraged because we're not where we thought we ought to be, but just embrace the process. Obviously, he's highlighting something in your heart. He's saying, come on, just let me have it. I can deal with it better than you can. And come away with me. Let's do this thing, right? And so I just feel like as we walk through this process, it's okay to walk through this in a way that's like, yeah, it gets ugly sometimes, right? Just ask my family. I get ugly sometimes. I need Jesus really badly every day of my life. And so I think it's important for us to understand, because what happens, I believe, is that when we get to a place where things are difficult and we're not who we thought we ought to be by now, we start wondering if what happened back then really happened and was real. Do you know that's just a tactic from the enemy? What you experienced in this community, I believe, was really real. And when you left this community, it's not because God forsake you. It was because God said, it's time to become more like me, even in a greater way. It's okay at times when God moves you out from a season and you walk into a season and maybe you're a little bit more lonely. Did you ever think that perhaps maybe the God who created all things and is all powerful and knows all things might be in the mix? He just might be. That he's actually bringing you to a place where you could become more like him. But how we handle those moments can really determine the outcome of those moments. But not only that, he also takes all the things the enemy has meant for evil and harm, and he works all things, all things, for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes, right? So if all things could be worked out for our good, you know, right? Come on. Like, do we really believe that? Or is it just scripture that we just pass over and it's like, okay, maybe that's for somebody else? No. It's been penned for you, for me, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so I just encourage you, right? Like, what is it that you're walking through? What is it that you've had to go through? Listen, life is hard. I remember thinking through this. Sometimes we think that when things are hard, it can't possibly be God. No. Like, if you read the scriptures, there are people who suffer following Jesus. And Jesus does say, people will hate you on account of me, right? And so I just think through this dynamic of, like, why do we think following Jesus is going to be easy? Why do we think that as we step into this thing and in this transition season, that it's just going to, everything's going to just be peaches and cream, right? No, it's challenging. It's difficult. It's why we need Jesus. It's why, right, like, we need intimacy with him. And so as we dive into this, I just want to encourage you, right? Don't be discouraged in the process. Let's just be real. I think this is the challenge with the body of Christ. Sometimes we're just not real. We walk into a place like this. How's it going? Awesome. You didn't sleep last night. Your kids were crying up all night long. You're like, actually, it stinks. I haven't slept in years. You know, college students enjoy your naps because you don't get them once you get out. So don't be discouraged in the process. You are being built up into a spiritual house to become a holy priesthood. Embrace the process. No matter how hard life gets, remember, whoever believes in Jesus will not be put to shame. Come on, I think, again, this is just a little observation. You guys okay with me? I didn't even get into the main, where I'm really headed. You're like, we're used to you already. All right, we get it. But hey, listen, this is big deal. Because I think there's times where we begin to wonder, where is God? Listen, again, we live in a broken, fallen world. Sickness is a reality of the world we live in. Yes, God can heal, and the promise is that we will be healed, whether on this side or that side. There will be a moment where we're no longer full of cancer. There will be a moment where we get to have a new body and walk and run with him in eternity. Okay? But we hold on to that reality, those promises of who God is and what he does. And so again, Peter's just trying to remind these guys, do you remember? Do you remember that you were a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession? I think this is so big that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you became a part of his kingdom. You became a different people. You are now a chosen race because you are found in Christ Jesus. Right? We are a chosen race because our identity is in Christ. Because our citizenship is in heaven. Right? We may come from different backgrounds and have different skin tones and all these things, but the reality of it is we are now a part of one race because his blood runs through our veins. Come on. Do you remember? There's something different about you. Secondly, he says, let me just say this. I believe we are a part of this race that everybody was intended to be. Jesus came as a human because he came to reach humans, right? He desires intimacy with us, right? He conquered sin, death, and the grave for the human race. He chose love while being despised. You have a God that wants you more than you want him. He's crazy about you. Jesus loves us and desires us despite our shortcomings. And even those moments where you just got fed up with the circumstances in life, and even maybe you had a real moment with God and things came out of your mouth towards God that you're not proud of. You know, he loves you still. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you realize that you're a chosen race? You're a royal priesthood. Come on. I mean, think about that. This is who you are. This is your identity. This is not like just something penned scripture so that you can say, you can have a little verse and hope on. No, this is the reality of who you are in Christ Jesus. You're a royal priesthood. There is that you are an heir, a co-heir with Christ. In heavenly places. Come on. This is good news, right? Like when Jesus came, he fulfilled the king and the priest and the prophet, right? This is who he is. But now because you've accepted Christ, this is who you are. And beautiful thing is, it's not about anything that you've done. It's because of what he's done that now you are royalty, that you're this priesthood, right? And what does that mean? Well, first of all, it just means that, man, when I live for God, that there's something powerful about realizing you are all, you know, princes and princesses in the reality of the spiritual world. There's something different. When you're a king's kid, you walk differently. When you understand, like, who your father really is, this father, come on, you walk differently. That there's royalty in your blood. You're a different person. But you're also a priest. And what does that mean? Well, priests were to go to God on behalf of the people, but they were also help the people connect with God. They taught the law. These guys were willing to do the sacrifices to help people stay connected to God. This is your role. Obviously, we don't do those kinds of sacrifices, but the rule of it is like, are we upholding the priesthood? Like, it's just not for the people that stand behind a pulpit, right? This is who you are, like, that we get to partner with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Like, this is an unbelievable privilege and honor. Not because of anything you've done. You didn't earn this thing. You actually don't deserve this thing, but it's just been a free gift to you. And sometimes we just forget who we really are. Right? This is so critical for us moving forward, that we're to be a holy nation. Guys, do you remember that you're to be a holy nation? Set apart. Different. We look different. We live different. We think differently. We speak differently. That we're a part of something so much bigger. I think it's easy to forget sometimes. But God wants you to remember today. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Listen, he purchased your life with his own blood. Like, we're no longer our own. Like, we're his. And this is so important for us to remember. This is your identity. That you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to earn it. He decided that he was going to do everything. He did all the heavy lifting. He did everything that was required to allow us to step into that identity. But do you remember that today? Do you remember this is who you are? Because this matters. Your identity is not in the roles you have in this life. But the world wants you to believe that. The world wants you to believe that you're defined by the job that you have, by the income that you make, by how well, right, your retirement plan is going. But all that really, in the spiritual realm, doesn't matter. Do you remember who you are today? Because in order to be faithful to the end, identity is going to be something that matters. Let's read on. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Okay, so not only do we need to remember who we are, but we need to remember there's a responsibility. Right? Like, this is such a gift to us also to help us to remember who we are. Right? And so when you lose sight of the responsibility we have to proclaim, I mean, guys, there was one time where we were in a bad place, like a really bad place. Like, we're headed to hell. Like, we say this in Chi Alpha all the time. Let's go rip people out of hell. Like, because we really believe that's a place that people are headed. Like, when you put your faith in Jesus, right? Like, this is what we really believe. And so we don't want anyone to go there. But we have a responsibility to proclaim. This word here in the Greek means to tell out, to proclaim abroad, to publish completely. To publish completely. That there's this thing that Peter's like, hey guys, like, okay, this is who you are, but let's proclaim it. Let's remember that you once walked in darkness, but now you're living in marvelous light. This is why my staff team cracks up, but every time I walk in a room, I turn on the light, because we're people of the light. I don't like living in the dark, right? Because we're people of the marvelous light, right? And the reality of it is we've got to proclaim, we've got to publish, we've got to get that out there. Like, do you realize what he's done for us that allows us to no longer live in the dark? Man, it's not okay that we stay silent. In fact, the Bible says in Philemon 6 that I pray that you be active in sharing your faith so you have a full understanding of what we have in Christ Jesus. This thought process is, right, like there's something about proclamation of the testimony in which God has given you that is so powerful that it helps remind us of what we really have in Christ Jesus. So here's this reality, is all of a sudden you go on to transition, you go on to another season of life, you start to forget who you are, and you start to forget the responsibility in which you've been given that actually is a blessing to help you stay focused on who you really are. And we're not proclaiming, and then when we mess up, right, we do something that is sinful, and we hold on to that, we then feel like we can proclaim, because how dare I proclaim when I just did that last night? And you have a father that's like, no, you just repent. Like, I didn't stop loving you because you blew it. Like, I loved you when you were blowing it and didn't even know it, right? Like, he loved you enough to die for you, and he's just saying, come on, it's time. If my people would just start proclaiming and making known the goodness of God in their life, like, this is the tactic of the enemy. Stay quiet. You're not perfect. You don't know enough scripture, and you sin far too often in order to be one that proclaims. Right? And so here's the reality, is that we must become people that proclaim the good news. Remember where you came from. Remember that God has set you free. He took you from darkness to light. At one time, we didn't know mercy, but now we know mercy. This is something that is so important moving forward in life. Like, I'm grateful that I got called into ministry, missions specifically. But I believe that God called me into this because he knew that I needed it more than Virginia Tech needed me. He knew that I needed Virginia Tech. Because it positions me in a place where I get to proclaim the gospel on a daily basis. And you know that my heart for you is that you're more fiery for the things of God 20, 30 years from now than when you graduated. I want to see you burning for Jesus. And running harder than you were while you were in college. But it's so easy for us to forget who we are. So easy for us to stay silent because you don't think you've got it all figured out. Right? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You have a story to tell because you once lived in darkness, but he brought you into the marvelous light. It's time to start proclaiming. You don't need a ministry event. You've been given the job you have. I don't know if you realize this, but there's probably an assignment far greater than you realize. And they might be the cubicle next to you. They might be the person across the hall in your dormitory. They might be the person who lives next door to you. But it's going to require that you proclaim. Proclamation is a public and official announcement, especially when dealing with a matter of great importance. There is no greater importance in all of life than people knowing they don't have to live in the dark any longer, and that there's a God that loves them. All right, lastly, let me just say this. Scripture says, Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Let me just say this. I believe, obviously, we're in this unbelievable war, but the conduct of your life matters. The way that you live your life, what it looks like and how you conduct yourself in the midst of your job, in the midst of your neighborhood, in the grocery store, at the doctor's office, the way that you conduct yourself matters because people are watching. And they're looking, especially when people start to know that you're a Christian, they actually are looking for reasons to justify not believing. And that's not I'm not trying to put weight on your shoulders. I'm just trying to give you a reality check. Like, that's why the scriptures say, watch the conduct of your life. Like, it matters. Remember that it matters. When I walk into a store, can I just be honest with you? I think, you know, as we look into this, I think this is so easy for us in the when the situation in our life is difficult, when the things of life are challenging, that's something that we actually drop. And I think being a married man, one of the things that was really hard for me early on in our years, Michelle and I would have a disagreement, other known as a fight, and someone would knock on the door, and I'm fuming. And Michelle opens, hey, come on in. Like, it's so great to see you. We love you. You know, she's, and I'm like, no, that's not how this works. You know, like, I'm upset. I don't want to be friendly and nice right now. Go away, you know. But praise the Lord, I'm married to a woman like that. Because what I started to learn in life is that, again, the conduct of our life matters. And the way that we treat people. One of the greatest convictions of my life right now is the fruit of the Spirit is easier outside the home than inside the home. But we're just as called to walk in the fruit of the Spirit inside the home. And maybe more importantly, inside the home. Why? Because the way that I operate and talk to my children, no matter how tired I am, no matter how upset I am at what they just did, the way that I handle that situation matters before God. And when I get to heaven, he's not going to say, hey, where are all those Chi Alpha students? He's going to say, where is your family? Because that matters. The conduct of your life matters. How are you living for God in the day-to-day? Right? You're actually a holy nation, so you should live differently. You've heard me share stories after story after story, but the truth of the matter is like, this is why we need Jesus so bad, is because everybody is watching. When I grew up, I had some really good friends in life, and you guys probably have heard this story before, but my whole life, I went to church, and I called myself a Christian because I went to church. But, you know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian, right? And I did life with these two guys for 18 years. We went our separate ways in college. I get radically saved through Chi Alpha. Come home. They see a difference in my life, but to them, they don't live with me now. So they only hear stories, but they don't see the day-to-day. But all they remember is Anthony was a Christian through high school because he went to church. But the truth of the matter is, no matter how much I tell them, it's so hard for them to disassociate the way that I lived in high school because they don't get to see the day-to-day today. And today they still are not followers of Jesus, though I share the gospel with them many times. Because for them, when I talk to them, they struggle to see the difference. I'll never forget sitting in a story. Dave and John walked up to this mountain. John got saved in college. Dave didn't. They come up, and John says, Dave, don't you see the difference in my life? He got serious with Jesus, and Dave was like, look, there's no difference between you and me, except for the fact that you call yourself a Christian. Like, I just don't want that to be our life. Like, our the places where we work and the way that we live our life, it matters. And so I hope that today you remember who you are, you remember the responsibility in which you've been given, and you remember that conduct matters. So I'm going to pray, The band's going to come back, and I'm going to open these altars because I think it's easy for us. It's easy for us to be in a place where we need God to touch us again. I was remembering, you know, all different types of moments last night as I saw different people walk in the room. Different missions trips, different altar experiences. And I don't know what you need today, this morning. But I do know that we all need God more deeply than we really understand. And so I'm going to open these altars. Perhaps maybe it was just something I said at the beginning. You know, you realize you are sick because you don't hunger for the Word of God. Maybe you realize, you know, yeah, I've really lost sight of who I am in Jesus, in Christ, because I've allowed the things that I'm going through to take my eyes off of Him, right? That I am a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession. If you've lost sight of that, then I'd encourage you to come forward. Let God refocus you. Maybe you haven't lost sight of who you are, but you've just been so silent. Christianity was never to be lived in the dark, in the closet. It was always meant to be lived and proclaimed. Maybe God wants to touch your life today so that you begin to be one that proclaims the word at work and in your neighborhood with your family. Maybe today you recognize, like, you know what, Anthony, I'm not walking in the fruit of the Spirit. The conduct of my life is not godly when I'm stressed, when I'm at work, when I'm at home, when I'm not sleeping, whatever it is for you. But I know Jesus' desire is that we look like Him. And so I'm just going to pray. If you feel like you'd like to come forward for prayer in those areas, I invite you to come.